This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello, and welcome to episode 101 of BookCareers.com Live. It seems a good point to tie this episode in with things I would like to see the publishing industry cast to room 101, never to return. I'm sure lots of you are familiar with the TV programme Room 101. Room 101 comes from George Orwell's book 1984, where Room 101 is the torture chamber, the worst thing in the world. What the worst thing in the world is will vary from individual to individual, but I'm pretty sure what follows in this episode are three things that belong in publishing's Room 101. All of these things should have been eradicated over 10 years ago or more, yet they still come up all the time and are extremely visible. I don't think anything makes me more angry than number one, and that is working for free. I can see where everyone has had an awful 2020. Companies are struggling, there are few job opportunities, and although the job market is slowly restarting and you don't want to stay at home twiddling your thumbs, you want to work, you need to get experience, and there is a publisher who would give you that experience and love to have you but not pay you. They want you to work for free. No. Just say no. And this doesn't only apply to interns and those at the very beginning of their careers. It applies across the board to all levels. One good thing that has come out of lockdown has been the reduction in the people asking freelancers or specialists in their field out for coffee so they can pick your brains. I see this so often when I'm coaching someone who is trying to start a freelance business. They come to me with marketing ideas, and one of them is always to offer to work for free in order to get a client, a reference, or a referral. Don't do this, and if you're in a position, don't ask somebody to work for free. In the same way, if a company approaches someone who is self-employed about a project, ask them to prepare some work or outline a strategy, and then decide not to progress or go with someone else, the company really should compensate the freelancer by paying some sort of fee or kill fee for the work and time done. The onus shouldn't always be on the freelancer. Oh, pitching for work by having to do the groundwork for free is all part and parcel of working for yourself. When a freelancer invoices clients by the hour, an hour's work has value. Companies and individuals need to respect this. And within this, obviously, is the unpaid intern. Before the pandemic, unpaid internships were at last looking like they were on the final decline. But now, in a matter of months, because there is a wealth of new talent wanting to break into book publishing, I'm seeing a slight increase in working unpaid again. Please do not do this. I still maintain that if a tiny organisation like Book Careers, and we are tiny, can pay everybody, and a company like Penguin Random House can pay everyone, there is no excuse whatsoever for any company in between not to pay an intern or pay someone for work experience. The only time it is acceptable to work for free is when it is a hobby or you are volunteering for a charity. Companies with owners or shareholders are not charities. I've spoken in a number of previous episodes on what you can be doing instead of working for free. And even though the job market is tight, this advice has not changed. If you revisit episode 23 on transferable skills for publishing, that will give you some ideas about what work you can be doing elsewhere, paid work, in order to pursue a job in book publishing. And remember, publishers always, always view paid work in any industry over working unpaid. The second item in Room 101 has to be directed at inclusivity and the tokenism of inclusivity that has been attached to inclusivity. If you want your company or organisation to be inclusive, truly inclusive, you need employees of a variety of races, social economic backgrounds, genders, cultures, etc., working on all your books and journals, not only the ones that reflect the culture or inclusivity aspect you think they represent. Inclusive people should be commissioning, editing, designing, producing, marketing, and selling the same titles as those from a white middle-class background. The writer, journalist, and broadcaster Anita Sethi, whose book I Belong Here will be published by Bloomsbury in 2021, says, "Can you imagine if, for example, you had red hair and were only ever assigned to interview other people with red hair or write about your red hair? That's the kind of pigeonholing that people of colour still have to put up with by some, though not all, commissioners." And this is so common in book publishing. To push diverse employees into a corner and say, "Oh, this is the ethnic list, you're ethnic, please commission new ethnic books," and think that the inclusivity box is ticked, job done, is very wrong. If you want inclusivity, true inclusivity, then recruit fairly and you'll swiftly see the diversity of people who work in publishing increase. By the way, Anita Sethi is looking for funding and supporters for the I Belong Here Foundation to support marginalised and socially excluded communities, and you can find out more and donate by visiting justgiving.com/the I Belong Here project. The full link will be in the blog post that accompanies this episode. Now, the third item in Room 101 is the secrecy about book publishing salaries. Now, I've been on this bandwagon for 25 years next year, and in recent years, Aki Schiltz of the Literary Consultancy has done amazing things with the Book Job Transparency campaign, which she created. But still, publishers are slow on the uptake, and so much secrecy remains about salaries within the industry. You'd think I'd be cheering about the secrecy, because next year I'll be launching another bookcareers.com salaries survey. But honestly, I'm tired and I'm weary of it. We have come a very long way in the past 25 years. When I published my first salary survey, then as part of the Society of Young Publishers, I was probably one of the most hated people in publishing. The directors of companies were criticising the survey across the pages of the Bookseller magazine. One director in particular was complaining about the results, accused me of manipulating the figures. I hadn't, nor would I ever do so, as the entry-level salary quoted in the survey was too high. I kid you not. However, if the publishing industry wants to move forward and remain at the forefront of recruiting the best diverse and inclusive talent, then book job transparency is a must. No one can make an informed career decision unless they know what they will be paid in a future role. So those are the three items in Publishing's Room 101. Do you agree with them? Do you have others of your own you'd like to add? And if you could pick what would be in Publishing Room 101, what would you choose? Please let us know. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.